Firstly, this week is Holocaust Memorial Day. This year it takes on a particular significance because this year is the 60th anniversary of the liberation of the concentration camp in Auschwitz. It was on the 27th of January 1945 that the Red Army liberated that death camp. We know a great deal about Auschwitz because there were survivors. We know a lot less about the other concentration camps like Belsen or Treblinka, because there were practically no survivors. Dachau is quite different from the other concentration camps. And also we need to know that the commemoration this week of Auschwitz has a lesson for all of us. It's fortuitous, according to me, that the word that we have received in the liturgy today focuses on the promise of light and darkness. One and a half million people were exterminated in Auschwitz. Most of them, of course, were Jews. Not all of them. You know the victims of the death camps. Over 6 million were Jews. Two-thirds of European Jewry. One-third of all the Jews in the world. But the Nazis exterminated systematically other people, especially Gypsies, homosexuals, Jehovah's Witnesses, and dissidents in their own country. But Auschwitz wasn't built as a concentration camp, and that's the terrible thing. It was built as a labor camp. Nazi Germany needed the labor for its war effort, and thousands of people were sent there to be trained in order to work. And it was designed and built as a labor camp. The men who designed it, they were quite skilled. They were draftsmen, engineers, designers. There was absolutely nothing in their history that could ever indicate that these men who built this labor camp would go on and redesign it, which is what they did, into a death camp. When it became clear that they were going to change the labor camp into a death camp, the men who had designed the labor camp, skilled men, draftsmen, engineers, designers, these men turned it into a death camp. There was absolutely nothing in their history to indicate this. These were men who loved their wives and their children. You know that Germany was probably the most cultured nation in Europe. How is it that these men could get sucked into such an event? How is it the whole evil of the concentration camps and the so-called final solution sucked into it people whose history didn't give any indication that they would end up there? And that's the amazing and terrible, terrible lesson that has to come into you and me. There may be nothing in your history or mine different from the history of those men until somehow they are pulled into, magnetized into, sucked into this evil. This is the possibility on different scale perhaps, or who knows, that can happen to you and me. That's the warning. When the famous Italian writer Primo Levi was asked why we should remember Auschwitz, he was a survivor, in inverted commas, because like many survivors, later on he committed suicide. Many survivors of the death camps, they lived with the most terrible guilt that they survived and other people didn't. But not long before he committed suicide in Milan, They asked him, why should we remember Auschwitz? And he said very simply, if it happened once, it can happen again. And that's true. Because the flesh and blood that designed Auschwitz, labor camp or death camp, is not different from your flesh and your blood. These men were not psychopaths. And today it's possible that you or I, in different ways, can be sucked into all kinds of evil. I have met young people here in this parish who have been sucked into terrible evil through heavy metal music, I assure you. I know a family where two of the sons have been drawn into this music and their lives are destroyed and they have done very evil things. And in their history, a good family, excellent Catholic schools, there's nothing ever to indicate that they could end up where they have ended up now. And in the same way, there are plenty of people who through the internet have been drawn into terrible evil, not just the evils of pornography, which can lead us anywhere, but other evils too. And this lesson we have to understand. We have to understand. You know that over the gates of the concentration camp in Auschwitz, it says in German, to work is to be set free. One of the girls from the parish, a young girl, she went to her school to Poland a few weeks ago, and of course they went to visit the camp there. She brought me back incredible postcards. And I can see this postcard now at the gate. And I mentioned it yesterday in the evening mass. And after the mass, an old Polish man came to speak to me, told me something very extraordinary. Said he knew the man, the metal worker, who made this gate. Good, ordinary Polish Catholic man, he said, who hadn't the faintest idea of what that was going to become. I also met some years ago, I want to tell you this, because it's not irrelevant. Living two doors down from the presbytery, number 12 Old Street, there was a Jewish man with his mother. They ran a small business there. They moved now, I think they moved only a few streets away. And one day I met her in the street, the mother. A woman, I would think, in her late 60s. And she showed me her arm with the tattooed number on it. And she said that when she was a very young girl, tiny girl, she had been taken to Auschwitz. But she had been rescued, she said. I don't know all the details. And she said to me, do you know what happened to me? I was taken into a Polish family in Krakow. And they said, you have to get baptized, otherwise you'll be finished. And she said, the priest baptized me, but said, don't be worried, you're not really being baptized. You're not really being baptized. Put her name in the baptismal register to save her. She said, I made my first communion. I lined up photographs of all these children in their beautiful first communion dresses. But some of them weren't Catholic children at all. They were little Jewish girls and boys, and they were hidden by the Catholic families. That's how they were saved. And she told me, I am a Jew to this day. But she said, I have been to confession, and I have been baptized, and I have made my first communion. And it was the only way that we could be saved. Now you know that later on, after the liberation of the camp in Auschwitz, the British troops liberated Belsen on the 15th of April, and the American troops on the 29th of April went into Dachau. On the 29th of April, 1945, in Berlin, Hitler married his lover, Eberhard. The next day, the 30th of April, 1945, he committed suicide. He had married the night before. It was 12 years to the day since he came to power. He had come to power in Germany on the 30th of April, 12 years earlier. It's not possible to celebrate the Eucharist today and not to be aware of all the commemorations that will go on all over Europe. What Primo Levi said is true. If it happened once and happened again, how can people get drawn into such an event? And many horrible events have happened since. Many other genocides have taken place and continue to take place. And we need to be very aware of the power of evil. There is a darkness. And as I said, the history of those people gave no indication that they could be sucked into such an incredible event, the so-called final solution. That's why when the word very, very briefly arrives to us today, and it says that the people who walked in darkness has seen a great light. There were lights in that darkness. I met one of them. One of the lights in the darkness in Dachau was the wonderful Jewish rabbi, Wilbring. Maybe you knew him. He died a few years ago. He survived the concentration camp. His brother didn't. His father didn't. His mother didn't, but he did. He did. He's the one who said memorably, people asked him, where was God in that concentration camp? He said, that's not the question. The question is, where is man? And the question is, where are you? And where am I in front of you? We mustn't imagine that it's outside us. There's nothing that has happened in the world outside us which hasn't come from within a person like you or me. These people were not born on another planet. They were not silent. As I said before, they love their wives, they love their children. You know, some of the guards used to go home at night and listen to wonderful classical music. They were cultured people. The mystery of evil is a terrible mystery, and it can touch you and me. We need to be enlightened. We need to be enlightened. The promise of the light has arrived to us in this world. It says here that the Lord humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. These were the two tribes that settled in the northern part of the promised land that later on became known as Galilee. They were surrounded by the pagans, the Syro-Phoenicians, the Phoenicians, the Syrians. It was the northern part of the promised land. And the north always in the scriptures represents darkness. And the north represents darkness. Those of us who are old enough and remember the Latin Mass know that the gospel itself, when the priest read the gospel, he always turned the book to the north, literally. The gospel was always proclaimed to the north. When Jesus Christ went to proclaim the good news, to become light and help, not only light. You notice in today's psalm, the Lord is not just my light and my help. When he went to become this light, he pitched his tent in Galilee, in the northern part, in the darkness. He didn't go to Jerusalem, the religious part. He went to the darkness. And he said to his disciples, I will meet you in Galilee. And it's from Galilee that the gospel goes out from the places of darkness. That's why Paul went to Corinth and planted the cross in that dark city, a city built on prostitution. A great temple outside Corinth of Aphrodite, filled with sacred prostitutes who came down every night to Corinth and sold their bodies. That's where the Christian communities began, in great darkness. This darkness can exist in you and me, and the hope is in the light. Anyway, I invite myself and you. Remember this week who the people who, in, well, at least in my lifetime, looking around in the lifetime of all of you, it's one thing that's always moved me to think that I have lived. When my mother was when I lived in the security of a family that was born in 1940, all these things were happening on the other side of Europe. People being gassed. The systematic extermination of people. Systematic. There is a power of evil in the world. And it has a past. And it can hide in there. The gospel is our hope, but it won't. And that's why this Eucharist today, brothers and sisters, we remember these events. We remember them with reparation. Not to go into all these problems now, personal. But you know the whole culture of Europe, which was deeply affected by anti-Semitism in Christianity. We are not innocent. Our hands are not clean. As Pope John Paul has said in many, many different ways. In this Eucharist we pray. We bless God for all those who remain a light in that darkness. All those who witness to the light in that terrible darkness. Let's make our profession of faith in them.